Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, thank you. Welcome again to Zenith Now. And, you know, I've been struggling here for a long, long time, several years, about what I wanted to do with time and life and with what I have, hopefully, to offer people. I was listening to the radio this morning, and I listened to the BBC. I don't really trust American media. Not that I trust the British anymore, but I think getting a little distance back from it lets you kind of see things from other people's perspective, and I find that really useful. And they were talking about the fact that Congress is pulling another stunt, according to news stories. Now, you have to understand, most of the American media and most of, and of course, British are very imperialistic, very imperial things, love the imperial presidency, which I detest. I think that that's bad. We don't need another Caesar, you know, Barack Obama, or anybody else for that matter. I'm not saying that I'm not a Democrat, I'm not a Republican. That anybody should have that much power, should be dictating. Depends on who you talk to as to whether Barack Obama is really the worst president for imperialism that we've ever had. I have no idea. Ronald Reagan was really quite imperialistic. I don't know any president that hasn't been. It's almost kind of expected of them. And that's not the way it was ever intended. It wasn't supposed to be that way. There was supposed to be some role that the president was supposed to fulfill that was supposed to be kind of like a king, just in the way of inviting dignitaries, having them come to the White House, wining and dining them, things like that, that we were supposed to have a president for. You know, we came, our country was formed in the time of kings, and we needed somebody who could stand up against, I don't know if that's against, stand up next to, be respected as if they were a king without having that. There was an important part of the Constitution that was strongly wanted was checks and balances between the three branches of government. Most Americans don't even know what the three branches of government are, don't know what they're supposed to be doing, and what their actual roles were intended to be. It was never codified that it had to be that way, only that we had three branches, and the intention was that there was going to be checks and balances between them. One would keep the other one from getting too powerful. We've lost that horribly. We have endowed our president with such vigor, with such power, with such, it seems like American people desire somebody who's a king to rule over them. And that's sick and sad. People who want that, I feel for them, and I want to convert them. I want to convert them to other thinking, to better thinking, personal responsibility, as much as can possibly be done. Well, Congress, yet again, just a couple of weeks ago, they had Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, came and spoke to Congress. Most of the Americans were just like, well, okay, whatever. And the news media and the president were just flabbergasted that people weren't aghast. How dare the audacity of Congress to do something that a president's always done. President's always done that. Congress doesn't invite foreign leaders to come. You beg the president for the opportunity to have him come. And Congress is simply a hall where you can speak. And congressmen are supposed to sit quietly and be attentive and clap, usually in favor of whatever the president has decided, has dictated, is our foreign policy is the way it's going to be. And it's really been amazing because Congress has been taking big, huge slashes at it. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that I don't think it's just partisan. I don't think it's just Republicans trying to make the Democratic president look small. Because let me tell you, quid pro quo, as soon as there's a Republican president there, the Republicans are all of a sudden going to be waving the flag. Yay, we love our president. Our president's great. I will help the president's agenda get through Congress. And I'm sorry, I am not that kind of person, ever. I think the imperial presidency is our national sin. I think what the presidency and congressional sycophants do to try and get the power of the presidency, and that's all that seems to ever happen, is that Congress is just a stepping stone to better things. You know, oh, what does every congressman want to be? I want to be president one day. And you go, man, that is just no. If you're not doing, you know, it's not a stepping stone to anything. It is the job. Do the job. And one of the biggest parts of your job is to keep the president in check. And so I applaud Congress. What happened today was yet another instance. They said a letter was drafted by some congressmen, maybe some senators, doesn't matter, to Iran, basically saying, hey, you can make a deal with President Obama, but who cares? Because in a couple of years, less than a couple of years, he's going to be replaced. He's out, and you're going to have somebody new to deal with. So they're just trying to kill the deal, because apparently these guys don't think that Iran should have a nuclear weapon. Personally, I don't even know what I feel about that. Iran is on the other side of the freaking world. You know, are they going to be able to build a weapon that will be able to threaten us here? I think other people should be far more concerned about it, and we should stay out of it. We're about as far away from Iran as you could get in the world. Doesn't matter to me, because you know what I'm more worried about? I'm more worried about the enemy at the gate. The enemy at the gate is an imperial presidency. I don't care what political party he's from. I don't care what his name is. I don't care what his skin color is. The imperial president must be made low. And the only way you can make him low is to take personal responsibility. I don't know if it's some fantasy in my head that in the past, people didn't know and didn't care who the president was. I think back in the early 19th century, people didn't know who the president was, and it didn't really matter what the president did because it had so little influence on your life. Who gave a flip who was in there? I want us to start moving back to that place. It's going to take decades. It could take centuries to do it, but I think it's a place that we need to go. America is becoming more and more like every other country. It used to be the great desire of everybody all around the world to come to America because we had a better system. Well, we're giving away that better system in trying to be like everybody else. Grasping for the last straws of imperialism. And we don't have to. We broke imperialism's back. How many kings are there and queens? And if they still exist, how much power do they really wield? Very, very little. And that's good. We need to do the same thing. We need to continue what we started in the first place. So I applied applaud Congress. I'm going to need to applaud a little bit here. Good job, Congress. There's very little I can say that's good about government, especially an overreaching, overarching, in your pants pocket, making decisions for you government. My wife is just, she's wonderful too. She was just telling me today, in her zeal and unhappiness about how Obamacare is affecting her, we had to pay a penalty. We had to pay a penalty this year because we didn't choose to spend our money on health care. It is it's been dictated by, you know, our American Caesar. Name doesn't even have to be inserted. It may be Obama, it may be Reagan, it may be any number of people over time. The Bushes, Bill Clinton. These people got that power so that one president and his sycophants in Congress, which I will call down every second, you sick sycophant, quit kissing the butt of the executive branch. That's not your role. Your role is to lead. Your role is to fight him. Fight him tooth and nail. Take power away from him. Disenfranchise him. And let me tell you, they say, well, that doesn't sound like balance. And you go, you could gun down every man or every woman, pardon me, don't mean to be all gender specific, whoever the president is, you could gun them down and you'd still not have really taken care of the imperial presidency. I'm not advocating violence. I'm advocating having a course, setting a course, and writing that course out. Liberty, freedom. We want a free people. That's what America was all about. We didn't want a king telling us what we were going to do. The Affordable Care Act, we called Obamacare, is at one stroke just an immense police state sort of imperialism. Telling you what you're going to do with your money, telling you what you're going to do with your life, putting you under the thumb, if you listen to the last episode, of your betters. You know, your doctor is an expert, and you must do what your doctor says. And you know how much I don't appreciate that. Well, I don't appreciate it in Congress either. I don't like being told what to do. I understand that we have to have rules to make things work. I understand that we have to have stop signs and traffic lights and codes of just basic conduct so that we can all get along. But those things don't force us to behave in a certain way. They don't exact a certain cost from us. Those are just things to make things run smoothly. I want to get the point from point A to point B. Somebody else wants to get from point C to point D. We have laws to make it so that we can all get to where we want to go. We may have to do it a little slower to accommodate cross traffic. That's fine. That's exactly what a government's supposed to do, is what helps everybody get to where they want to be and to be able to I don't really like using the word safe anymore. It's used too much to try to make people, you know, conform to some enforced standard. I don't want to do that, you know. I don't like being groped at the TSA. I don't understand that. I think this whole war on terrorism thing is being used to basically enslave the population. I don't go as far as some people in thinking that way. I don't think there's some grand conspiracy out there. I think it's individual people just saying, hey, I'm going to take advantage of that. And hey, there's two or three guys I know that are taking advantage of it, and that's how they do it. I think we need to fundamentally convert people back to our original religion. I'm not talking about Christianity. I'm not talking about Islam. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about our national standard, the thing that brought us together as a nation in the first place, freedom. Freedom is what brought us together. Anybody who wants to take away your freedom beyond just what's necessary so that we can all transact business with each other, that we can make deals with each other and have those deals be valid and enforced, Anything beyond that really ends up being government intrusion. It needs to be fought actively. And I was just saying today, I said, you know what? I said, I should run for Congress. I like Congress. You know, there's where you really have to talk to individual people. The states have almost become superfluous. They're basically subunits of the federal government. That's sad. We need to reinvigorate states. We need to reinvigorate counties. We need to reinvigorate cities. And we definitely need to reinvigorate rural places. I lived for 40 years in rural places. And I liked them because that was the place where you could go to earn the most and get the most freedom. It was a sad day when all of a sudden a little place, I came from a place called Tucumcari, New Mexico. It's a little something you trip over on I-40. When you're driving across the country at high speeds, you may have to go to the bathroom, and Tucumcari was one of the places you'd go to the bathroom in. But it would see a big city, and it'd see what those big cities were doing, and it would just adopt the rules of the big city. Or it would be more likely than anything else, it would be something that was dictated by, typically, federal government. You'll get some money if you do this. It's a big payoff. Well, Congress can stop that payoff. Congress can stop levying taxes or can reduce taxes. Everybody says, oh, we can't do that. We can barely afford what we're trying to do now. And you go, well, then stop doing so much, taking away people's freedom. When people don't have their money, then they don't have freedom. They don't have freedom. I don't need to talk about poverty here in the future. This year, I left officially poverty. I have to pay taxes this year. It's the first time in my life. I'm nearly 50 years old. That's terrible. I should have been paying something all along. I should have been paying my fair share. Instead, what I was getting was a government payment. And let me tell you, that was being handed out to buy my vote, to buy my allegiance to the federal government. I wasn't getting that money from the state. The state didn't have money to be handing back out. The federal government did. We have to take control of it. One of the most important things we can do is to cut the knees out from the imperial presidency. The most important thing we can do is make it so that person I was doing an analogy of skydiving this morning with my wonderful wife. And I was saying, the first thing we have to do is once that guy's worked so hard, got himself so high, and he leaps out that thing, and he's a glorious spectacle, right? Got his red, white, and blue jumpsuit on. He's our guy. We need to cut his cord and watch him flounder and fall to the earth. And she said, and I was thinking to myself, she didn't say it, but I was thinking, I said, she must be thinking that, you know, nobody would ever want to be the president if that was true. And you go, don't worry, it'll take centuries before power-hungry people will say, you know what, it's really not worth being the president of the United States, man. That guy is so nailed to the wall. You know what? We have guys that will work and pay millions and millions of dollars to have that office. And then you know why? Because that office is endowed with power. Well, the best thing we can do for the universe, for ourselves, for our neighbors, for anybody that we care about, is to cut that guy off. The most powerful guys can still vie for it. Sorry. They can pay out all their money to have it. Good. give the poor something to do. I mean, give the rich something to do, pardon me. That they can all fight for the presidency. They want to be able to have state dinners at the White House. They want to hobnob with big people. Whatever, you know. I want to meet Queen Elizabeth. I know I can do that. And my wife can maybe hug her, although she'll go, I don't want to be near you knaves from across the pond. Whatever they're after, they can pay dearly for that. And frankly, I think that money should find its way into reducing the taxes of other people. If rich people want to behave like that, that's totally up to them. I wish they'd have better motives and be more charitable. Many of them are, and that's great. I want rich people to get richer so that they can be more charitable. It's hard for poor people to be monetarily charitable. They can certainly do charitable acts, and that's wonderful. God bless the poor. By golly, I've been poor up until I was nearly 50. And I'm grateful for the blessings I received. But let's not get off topic yet. That's topic for another one of these broadcasts. Today, I'm happy, and thank goodness Congress, standing up the imperial presidency, you're inspiring me. You're inspiring me to fight the good fight. And it needs to be a fight. Government is... I think the founders wanted government to be basically a battlefield. That was always what Parliament was, and didn't we just kind of copy the House of Lords and the House of Commons with our own Congress and Senate? Didn't we do that? It says we knew it was going to be bickering. We knew it was going to be fighting. And you go, you're going to war. You're going to war. You just need to choose what you're fighting for. Democrats and Republicans think there's only two combatants. I respectfully, the honorable gentleman from Oklahoma, which maybe someday they'll call me, respectfully disagrees. I don't fight for party. I fight for the principle of it. And if that means I'm going to be backed by the Libertarian Party or by some constitutional party or nobody except regular people. So that's okay. It said, number one, I hope and pray that your vote, if I'm in the 5th Congressional District, and I live in the 5th Congressional District, of Oklahoma, I hope their votes can't be bought. Although the Republicans and the Democrats, well, it's their dirty little secret that they keep between themselves, that they think your vote can be bought. And they've got plenty of evidence that says it can be. And my appeal is, don't be bought. That's what my stand will be. I'm going to Congress to do Congress's job, fight one of Congress's jobs, fight the imperial presidency, make him low so that we may raise everybody else up. Liberty, freedom. You're going to keep more of your labor. You're going to keep more of your life. You're going to be able to make more of your decisions. It's called personal responsibility. We can all do more of it. It's not just some wonderful luxury that money can buy you. It is the ability to do what you want with what is yours, with what you have worked for. That it's not constantly confiscated away. We'll have some taxes, but a lot less than we do now. We fought a revolution. The American Revolution was fought over far less than this. the tax rate was pathetically small, and yet they shook their fist at it. And it wasn't so much about the taxes they were paying. That was just a convenient way to display your displeasures by not paying your taxes. It was against the fact that you didn't have control. Or do you feel in control today of your life? Do you feel like you can have what you want? Do you feel like that you actually can take control of things? Or do you feel more like, no, I can't do that because it's illegal. No, I can't do that because I do that. You know, I've got to have this really expensive health insurance because, well, I'm not going to, you know, otherwise I'm going to get fined. You're being sucked into the realm of genuflect, worship before the imperial presidency of the United States. I'm against it. I'm against it, and that means I need to do what I can to fight it. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not very interested in going into the judiciary. The place I'm going to have to go is the Congress. Let's go. Let's go to Congress. And for I guess for Oklahoma's 5th District, I'm going to start running for Congress. By golly, I don't know how much that costs. I don't know what it takes to get to sign on. I don't know what that takes. But we're going to find out together. I'll share my journey with you as we go. I don't think it takes a lot of money. What it takes is it takes exposure, and that's what it is. Money buys exposure. But if you're willing to fight that, if you're willing to fight that system, which is what everybody wants. I said, hey, man, I'm going to sit here. I'm going to show you that I'm not going to take it. I don't take orders from my doctor, and I don't take orders from some imperial president. I don't take orders from Washington. Fight them. Fight them hard. The state and the people. I need to bring that up too. My time is up. It's been great talking to you. I look forward to helping you get your freedom back. Not just to talk about it. You know, you can be on radio and you can talk about all you want to. Action, action. People like action. Put action to work. Make it happen. Get yourself in Congress. Start fighting the good fight. And the fight is against imperialism. It's exciting. I'm getting kind of hopped up on it. I hope I stay with it. You know, sometimes you get excited about something and then it kind of peters out and you go, well, I can't really do that. But you can do this. It's easy. Anyway, doesn't matter. My name's Jason Demereau. You've been listening to Zenus Now. Pretty soon, you're going to see some more out of me getting ready to get this stuff done. And it just told me I have 60 seconds left, so I'll leave you with that. Have a great day.